I want you to imagine for a moment that you had a terminal illness with an easy cure. A disease that would kill you if you do not take advantage of an easy cure. Imagine what it would be like to have a doctor tell you, you have this disease and here's the cure. How crazy would you be to deny the existence of the disease and run from the cure? That would be suicidal. You and I all do, in fact, have that terminal disease. At enmity with God, we have a disease called sin. It has infected every aspect of who we are. We were born sinful by nature and demonstrably sinners by activity. And this is a terminal condition. And yet there is an easy cure, a simple cure, simple as a word like belief. It's really rather simple. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 4, verse 5. In the middle of this verse, I'll read the whole verse in a moment, but I want to point out to you one small part of it. God declares righteous the ungodly. God declares righteous the ungodly. Really a simple concept. God is willing to declare those who are antagonistic to Him, those who are sinful by nature and by activity, those who have only ever done things to offend Him, God is willing to declare them to be righteous. They're not righteous. And God is willing to say, in front of all of heaven, righteous. To make a declaration contrary to fact. Now let's read Romans 4, 5. To the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, that person's faith is credited as righteousness. You and I are unrighteous people. We have in our ledger piles and piles and piles of unrighteousness. And the things that you and I might be tempted to point to that say, well, I've got some righteousness over here. I've got some religion over here. I've done some good things over here. In God's economy, all of those are in the unrighteous ledger. Everything we could offer to God that comes from ourselves is not enough to make God happy. In fact, is only enough to make God more upset. And we might be tempted to think that the cure to this condition is work harder, get religion, go to church, do stuff. And the more you do, the harder you try, the more you rely on self-effort and man-made attempts to please God, the more garbage you pile up in the ledger that God is made angry by. But God is willing to do something unbelievable. He is willing to declare the ungodly righteous. He is willing to declare those who have this massive pile of iniquity. He's willing to say before every audience, that ungodly person is godly. They've never done anything wrong and they've always done everything right. That is what the word justify means. To declare to be absolutely righteous, to have never erred, to have only ever loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to have always loved others as you ought, to have upheld every single aspect of God's righteous demands, and to have not faltered once. It really is an astonishing thing that God is willing to do. In fact, in Proverbs 17, verse 15, God says that the person who justifies the wicked or condemns the righteous is an abomination. What do we do with Proverbs 17, 15 and Romans 4, 5? Has God done something abominable? In a sense, yes. Because the cost of this justification was something completely and totally inappropriate. God himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to earth, went to a cross, and bore that big pile of iniquity in his own body, in his own person, on a cross, so that his righteous Father could crush him in the place of those who would believe. Instead of the guilty, the innocent was punished so that the guilty could be declared righteous. Not just a pardon, not just a canceling out of all the wrongs, but a crediting of all the rights to the one who does not work but believes him who justifies the ungodly. Faith is credited as righteousness. If you're here this morning and you don't want to do that simple thing, believe God. Believe his assessment that you are ungodly and that there is a cure, a declaration. If in fact you would rather appeal to your own opinion of yourself, your own assessment, no, I'm not that bad. Or I can do something to make up for it. You will never be seen as righteous. If you rely on yourself, if you deny God's assessment, you can't have the cure. And the cure is so simple. Repent. Repent of religion. Repent of your goodness. Repent of your merit. Repent of your trying. And trust. Trust the one who sees you rightly. Trust the one who offers a cure as a free gift. Not an exchange for your doing, but a simple declaration for those who believe. If you're here this morning and you love the Lord Jesus Christ because God has poured out his love in your heart, if you've been born again, we have the opportunity now to remember Jesus, to remember what he did in our place on a cross so that God could declare us righteous, so that he could adopt us into his family, so that we could have eternal life with him. Remember Jesus. Remember what he has done. Remember what it means to be in him. And we're going to drink juice, which is an emblem of his blood that was spilt to purchase our redemption. And we're going to eat bread, which is an emblem of a body that was crushed on our behalf. Don't harbor sin. Rejoice in the benefits of your forgiveness. Confess sin. Take the opportunity to examine yourself, come before God, and experience the forgiveness purchased for you in Jesus. If you don't yet know Jesus, this is an opportunity. This morning before you lies life. A change in your path, in your trajectory, in your eternal destiny. A change in your own heart and your affections, the way you think and the way that you live. If you don't know Christ, you can turn to him today and have a new life. A new heart, a new way of living, a relationship to God, and your sins forgiven. That is available to you today simply if you will believe. Just believe. And if you do that, you will find that everything will change. If you don't know Jesus, don't take the juice and the bread. It's not for you. We don't intend to offend anyone by that, but it is a symbol for those who have already partaken of Jesus Christ to remember him. If you're not a part of Grace Bible Church, you're visiting here, but you love the Lord Jesus, please take communion with us. I'm going to invite the men down now to offer the elements, the bread and the juice, and I want you to hold on to those and we'll take them together in a few moments.